Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this morning, for this Christmas Eve. And we thank you for all the goodness you bestow upon our lives. We thank you, Lord God, this year. It's been a wonderful time of your loving hand and kindness in many, many ways. We ask a blessing upon every single family member. We thank you for peace and joy. We thank you for direction for every person. Pray for those that are watching online by live stream. We pray for the blessing of God may be upon them. We thank you for the God's richest blessing of favor in every area, in spirit, soul, and body. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Every year, there's so many messages about Christmas you can bring. And, there's so much to say about it. What can you say about Christmas? You add on a little bit of your idea of what Christmas is. But I want to give you a message. I believe that Christmas is a message of cheer. And God, the point is that God, the goodwill of God has brought us into favor with him. You know, we were brought into favor with God. And then we've been brought into favor with one another. And the scripture says in Proverbs 3:4, it says that when we honor God's word, you know, God and his word, the scriptures or the Bible is God speaking to us. Amen. And when you honor the word of God, you're actually honoring God. Amen. So when you take your Bible and you read the Bible, you're giving him honor, giving him first place. So whenever you would make decisions about life, we have to consider, what does God's word say? Amen. Someone that taught us and taught all of us that are graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center, Bible College, told us that we must always consider, whenever we come to a place in life, if it's a hard place or we're making a decision, we must ask ourselves, what does God say about it? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, what does God say? Now, about your decision that you're making, we have to ask ourselves, what does God say about it? And we must go to his word and honor him. But God has brought his honor by honoring his own word that he said through the prophets that he would send a savior. You know, and one of my favorite scriptures about Christmas was Isaiah 9:6. To us a savior, a baby is given, a savior is given to us. That's a prophecy given by God through the prophet Isaiah. And there's other scriptures along that say the same thing, that God gave us, you know, or gave us his son. And gave us so much that came with that. Now, I want to use a text from Luke 2:14. Luke 2:14. The angel said, as the children have said, we were watching the children, the video with the children. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and peace, and earth peace, goodwill towards men. I want to take the word goodwill and explain a little bit about that goodwill and give you seven things goodwill will bring you, because it's in the scripture. God deserves all the praise and glory for everything he's done for us, especially for sending Jesus to us, who brought us salvation to our entire being. Not only did he save you from going to hell, but he also saved your soul from being tormented with fear and anxiety. God restores your soul and restores your thinking through his word and gives us healing for our bodies. If we get sick, we can believe God for healing. Amen. How many of you ever been healed by a major illness, a major sickness? You had cancer, you've had something bad happen to you. Many people, how many people ever been sick just with a slight cold? Huh? Or if with a sore arm? So God deserves all the glory. So he wants us to enjoy, have peace, and enjoy his goodwill. And that goodwill beyond what we can ever imagine or think. You know, God wants us to enjoy far more than what we can think. The Bible tells us that God wants us to enjoy more. I believe, I know for a fact that I'm living far below what I should be living. And I think, I go look around, I could see, man, we need more. Amen? So, you know, in the last days, you know, these are the last days. You look around the world, you know that these are the last days. It's not because I'm getting old, I'm saying that, because I was hearing preachers saying, these are the last days, he could come any second. I said, yeah, because he's old. But Bible, the old, for us, timelines don't mean anything for God. There's no time in God. But for us, the last little while has been the last days. You know, for God, like a, you know, a thousand years is like a, what is it, a day. A thousand years is like a day for God. That's, I mean, in our time, there's no time in God. But for us, like a thousand years for God is like a day. When he says, I'm coming soon, that could be, you know, he could be coming, when did he say that? He could be coming almost any time. So, you know, in these last days, you know, we're talking about goodwill, but the Apostle Paul prophesied and gave us a word for this last day. What it'll be like in these last days? It's not about goodwill in this last day. You ever notice that? I mean, just going around the stores lately, how much people, even little old ladies, will push you around. You know, you fight for a parking spot and a line, you know, place in line. So, you know, the Bible says, here's what the Holy Spirit, everybody say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit said through Paul, writing to Timothy, a young man, a pastor, a leader, spiritual man. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. You should know this. Everybody say, you should know this. Say, I should know this. You see, this is what he said. Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. I mean, you just look around, you see all the selfishness going around. People just spending all their time, all their money on themselves and just their family, and that's four, two, and no more. And don't even extend themselves beyond their family. When if we say, thank God I got all my needs. One time I was sitting in Bible school, and Keith Moore asked a student, he said, how many of you, you know, got your needs met, you paid your tuition this month? Man, everybody's excited, you know, just praise God, amen. Well, how many of you have enough money to just give to somebody today? You know, well, hardly anybody lift their hand. But he said, you know, our benevolence, our goodness of our lives, we should be able to extend, to try to live beyond ourselves and give towards other people.
Amen.
Don't use all your energy for yourself. Some of your energy should go towards helping other people and blessing other people.
Amen.
There's only one amen there, but okay. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. Now, the kids have to listen to this. It says in the last days, people will be disobedient to their parents. I'm looking at my own kids right now. Okay, so they don't know what I'm talking about right now. But you see, you know what I'm telling you? Everybody here needs to hear this. Joe, little Joe, listen to this. Your dad's over here. He's probably on his iPad looking at something. Telling all those ministry kids over here, what's your kid doing back there? Okay, so disobedient to parents, ungrateful. You know, being ungrateful is part. When people are ungrateful, there's a spirit in the world that causes people to be ungrateful for what they have. That's the spirit of Antichrist working in the lives of people. That's in the last days. God said this will happen. The people just, you know, give people something. They say, oh, that's nothing. I don't want that. Instead of receiving something graciously, say, oh, wow, thank you so much for making an effort, giving me this little gift there. You know? So, it says in here, they will consider nothing sacred. You know, consider this. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know, that wasn't too long ago, like, Sunday was a sacred day. Today, everything's open. Bars open. You open all night. You can just have parties all day long. We used to be quiet, and just it's a Sunday. It's a sacred day. Today is not even sacred anymore. Things that are sacred no longer sacred. That's part of the last days. We don't have anything sacred. Nothing is, you know, sacred. A handshake don't mean anything anymore. There's a whole bunch of things that are not sacred like it used to be. We need to have some sacredness. They will be unloving and unforgiving. There's a lot of things going on in the church that people not even allowing forgiveness that they receive from God extend towards their neighbor. People make mistakes. We make mistakes. If I make a mistake, I expect you to forgive me.
Amen.
I said, if I make a mistake, I expect you to forgive me.
Amen.
And if you make mistakes, I'll forgive you. And we don't look down on someone because they make mistakes or they got a weakness in a certain area. We need to extend loving kindness to everybody. You can smile at me right now, praise God. It's Sunday morning, I mean. Okay, so listen. It says in here, they will slander others. I mean, just go ahead and take a look at Facebook just for 10 minutes. How many people slandering the Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens? That is so unfair. Amen? Sorry there, Emily. Yeah. Just because Toronto won last night, eh, guys? And then it says they have no self-control. And people say, no, I can't control it. No, God tells us that we need to practice and learn to have self-control over things. If you say you've been tempted beyond measure, you're lying about it because God has a way for you to be not tempted and overcome any temptation. If you read your Bible study, either God's lying or you're lying. I believe you're lying about it. The Bible says we can, you know, you don't just fall into adultery. You planned it. You've allowed yourself to be tempted. And you didn't take special precaution about it. Okay, I realize this is a Christmas message. I'll get back to my own. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray friends, be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious. They'll reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. This is the 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Let me just read 13 and 14. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you.
Amen.
You know, this is an exhortation from the Holy Spirit to us today. This is a message for us right now. This is what's going on in the world. You know, you don't have to read the papers to know what's going on. Just go ahead and read your Bible and you look at it there. You know what's going on. And so, what does Christmas mean to you? I don't know. There's a twofold application about what Christmas means. First of all, there's a spiritual side to it, and there's a natural side. The spiritual side, you know, we live in two worlds.
Amen.
You know, I've been to many, many funerals. Most of the people have to do with drugs and alcohol have died early. And I've been to over the last little while, and, you know, they shouldn't have died. But they've died. But, you know, people say God took them, and I don't believe God took them. They took themselves out.
Amen.
By decision. So there's a twofold application toward what Christmas means, and it can mean spiritual aside and the natural side. So we live in the spiritual and natural world. We do. So at the funeral, I was at one funeral. I wasn't the main preacher. Another man was. They asked me to participate. And said, you know, God is giving us a message and killed this person and basically murdered this person for us so that he can learn a lesson, and all of us can learn a lesson. God had a plan to kill that guy on a certain day, and took the scripture from Hebrews and say it is appointed for us to die once. But that scripture doesn't say that. It just says that, you know, one day we'll all die. But God didn't determine it. He didn't put it on his date and say, you die on the 23rd of May, 1947, or, you know, 2016. We can extend our lives. The Bible tells us we can extend our lives. Why pray for people if you can't extend their lives? You're going against God's will. So you can extend your life or shorten your life, depending on what we do in our lives. So there's a spiritual side to everything and a natural side to it. And so we need to understand that we have to figure out this in our lifetime, what we're doing. So I was getting to a point to that, but I'll get back to it. The Lord wants to get us on. So what does it mean for Christmas? It means two things, right? So it actually means, Christmas means John 3:16. First of all, Christmas means God giving his greatest gift to us humans. And John told us in his gospel, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gift that God gave us here at Christmas. This is what Christmas means. God giving you his greatest gift, and that gift is salvation. The next verse says, for God sent not his own son into his world to condemn the world, but through the world that through him might be saved. So the greatest gifts that we get is spiritually speaking. You know, what I was going to say earlier about the spiritual side and natural side of life, when that young man died in his early age, you know, that I was at a funeral as that, and he said, well, you know, this guy, and there was a bunch of writings and different things. People say, well, you know, this guy now has started his spiritual journey. Well, that's incorrect. You started your spiritual journey the moment you're born again. And the moment you were conceived in the womb, you started your spiritual journey. You started first in the womb, and then you started outside of the womb your spiritual journey. Your spiritual journey doesn't start when you physically die. Because you live in two worlds. And so our lives have to understand this. You know, when we live in this natural body right now, you can't, there's a bunch of spiritual people sitting here, as well as the physical people. You can see my outside, but you can't see my inside. God only can see the inside, the intents of our hearts. And every once in a while, through the gifts of the Spirit, God can reveal through somebody about the intentions of your heart. That's called the discerning of spirits. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, that's one of the gifts that God can give us as a protection. When we're working with people, like as pastors, God can give you this gift and say, just give you a discernment. And say, you know, hey, this guy doesn't have good intention in your heart, and please don't make a decision with that person. God can give you that. Our spiritual journey is like right now. You know, I could be talking to you, but I can be talking to God on the inside as well. So we're living in two worlds. So, you don't die, you kind of wait around for 7 days and travel around. And no, the Bible says when you die, you're in the presence of God. You'll be either there or somewhere else you care not to be. Salvation through Christ is the greatest gift we could have, and we inherit many things from that day on. When we become born again as children of God, we inherit many, many gifts from God. And so what is your greatest gift this year? Like, if you think about it, spiritually speaking and naturally speaking, what is your greatest gift this year? And I thank God. I mean, I asked the girls this morning, you know, be in church this morning. Please come on time. Be there. You know how it is. Anybody ever have to fight with their kids? You know, how to get. I mean, I see some of you still fighting with your kid, trying to get them to sit down in one place. I mean, that's a lifelong battle, fighting with your kids. Amen. You know, just when you think they're out of the house, man, they come back again. Somehow step back in, you know. They say, well, thank God, that's the last payment I have to pay, praise God. But then they come around, you know, you thank God for that you can pay $800 for, like, a cell phone. But they do get more expensive as you get along, get older. You can ask over there, Max over there, Max Cacupedum. Isn't that, it does get more expensive? It does? Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. So I want to share with you seven things that God has given us. That part of what the angel said, goodwill towards all men. That's what he said. Here are seven things very, very quickly. First of all, he says goodwill. Well, what does goodwill mean? First of all, goodwill means the kindness of God. You can count on this gift from God, his kindness, every single day this year.
Amen.
Like, you know, we think about naturally what the kindness of God, what he wants to give us this year. I do have something for you there before you go home. Okay. Listen, the kindness of God is for us right now. You know, we have to be, God has given himself to be a kind God. No, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not only because of our righteous things which we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So that's God's kindness. You didn't deserve to be born again. You didn't do anything to deserve being born again. You could never be any more righteous than you are today. 1,000 years from now, you'll be no more righteous than you are right now. You are just as righteous as you'll always be, even in heaven. Jesus made you righteous right now. You're right before God. Now, holiness is a different subject. But we're right with God. We've been made right with God. So the gift you have today is that God has given you his kindness, his act of kindness. He did something for you and me without us ever having to do something for him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we, if God extended kindness towards us, we ought to extend kindness towards other people.
Amen.
So Ephesians 4:32 says, you ought to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Whatever God has given us, we should extend kindness towards other people. God has given you kindness. We should extend that kindness towards other people. Sometimes to the point of hurting our own selves. But you don't want to do that too many times. Secondly, love. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 13, verse 4-7, New Living says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. You know, sometimes I think about my wife and I think about different things that I do, and the Lord talks to me about, you know, God doesn't demand. So whenever she demands from me, no, just kidding. No. You know, we don't demand things from each other. We want to love each other. We want to extend our love towards each other. You know, the days of fighting, you know, with your girlfriend, you know. Remember those days, Robbie? You don't fight no more. Not anymore, you know. I always ask, I don't know, the boys around here ask about that. You know, what kind of, you got any paycheck this week? He said, I've never seen no paycheck. So the boys don't see no paycheck. So it keeps no record of being wrong. This is love. It rejoices not about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. You know, love doesn't give up on someone. They fail 1,000 times. This, one of these guys go out and drink again and fall again. No, God doesn't give up on you. And we don't give up on you. Although we want to give up on you. I want to give up on me. But God doesn't give up on me. He doesn't give up on you. God believes the best about you. I'm just using them because they happen to be here today. Because, I could have used Pastor Ken this morning. But I heard a news from Saskatchewan. It said, here he goes again, blaming Kenny or talking about Kenny. I mean, in good taste, right? Yeah, his mom's saying that, you know, watching Kenny. I heard Kenny's name again on television. So I have to take him and nurse him after that. Take it for coffee, take it by remote. She'll be at this morning. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. You know, there's so much we could quit on people, but God never gives up on us.
Yeah.
He never gave it up. He always gives us love. Sorry about that, Pastor Kenny. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. He said, that you love one another as I have loved you, John 3:34. He said, the kind of love I've extended, that I've shown you, I've died on the cross, did everything for you, that kind of love I displayed, I want you to love other people with that kind of love. He said, well, I can't love people like that. No, not on your own you can't, but by the Spirit of God in you, Romans 5:5 says that same love that we just read about lives inside of you. You just haven't executed that you haven't really used that love yet to that extent. You have the love of God in you, that same love Jesus had. That same love is inside you right now. That's why they say that real love, the love of God, when two Christians get married, it never goes to a divorce court. Never. Now, if a Christian marries an unbeliever or someone that's, you know, like that, it will. It can. Or a Christian who doesn't live by that can actually have a hard time and not follow through on it, on the decision. Number three, favor. Luke 1:30 says, you living, don't be afraid. Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You know, we have favor with God. Not just Mary, the angel wasn't saying that for Mary, but he's saying that for us. Here's what Romans 12:10 says. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honoring, preferring one another. You know, when you show people favor, you prefer them. You prefer them before yourself. You give them preference. You know, we thank God for having preference. You know, if you get a certain card or something, you get preferred seating and whatever. That kind of stuff. So God wants us to not only receive favor, that favor from God, but also prefer other people. Show them favor. Give people a favor. Will you do that?
Yeah.
Four people. Okay. Number four, friendship. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were yet still sinners, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Ruth 2:2 says, may the Lord reward your efforts. May your acts of kindness be repaid fully by the Lord God of Israel, from whom you sought protection. Verse 13, she said, you have really been kind to me, sir, for you have reassured and encouraged me, your servant, even though I am not one of your servants. You know, we could be kind to show friendship to people we live in a world that hardly some people don't have friends. Like real friends that would show them favor and love and kindness. You know, it's nice to go to somebody and around Christmas time we show a little bit more respect. You know, go to the mall and you tip somebody. You know, stop tipping 10 nickel a dime. Give them a $10 bill or something. Just give somebody $20 bill and you're eating somewhere. When we were at Rhema Bible Training Center, they always told us when you go eat outside, please don't be tipping. You know, make sure you tip these people. Leave a $20 bill or something, and show them that you're from. You're from the love of God. Amen. Number five, generosity. However, Ephesians 4:7, New Living says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. You know, Christ Jesus has been so generous, he has given us talents and gifts and put it upon each one of our lives. Amen? How many of you have talents that you have right now? Let me see your hand if you got talents. Okay? Anybody don't have talents? One guy? We better pray for this guy here. Okay, anyway, that's what people say. So I remember one fella, we were having a meeting, Pastor Ken and I were doing a new believers meeting, foundations meetings, and we talked about talents, you know. One guy said, man, I got so many talents. And, you know, he's talking about his wonderful talents, but then after that time, he never come back. He never wanted to share one of his talents with us. Last time I heard, he's on the road singing somewhere. But anyway, yeah, best, yeah. So anyway, now 1 Timothy 6:18 says, tell them to do good. We have to do good, right? Tell them to do good deeds and be generous givers, sharing with other people. You know, we need to learn how to be generous with our hearts. You know, I looked at this couple here every week to come in. You know, what blesses my heart? I mean, I tell you, you guys encourage me very much every time I come in here. I see them cleaning in this room here. They're cleaning up little things, you know, on the floor, and they're cleaning up different things, you know. And I see them spend about the whole morning cleaning just because you could have for you to sit down in a nice clean room. I see Jimmy DeGon here. He's here twice a week. He spends a whole morning twice a week. Comes and cleans all the everything in here. I'm going to tell you something. He's one of the best cleaners I've ever known. He cleans the whole place. You know, and so people like that have generous hearts.
Amen.
They want to give. They want to share something. They want to do something great. So thank God. I want to thank God for your help. And I want to shake your hand after. Give you a good handshake, like a good, you know, generous handshake. Number six, good deed. Revelation 19:8 says, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. Talking about the church, right? For fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. You know, as Christians, we ought to be giving, showing good deeds. Good deeds. This reflects what we are here supposed to do here on earth to reflect the goodness of God with our good deeds, what He has done for us. So we should turn to each other and give each other good deeds, you know. Every once in a while, and then when the snow comes by, Pastor Steve, he's running around, he comes by my house, he clears some of my snow and pushes the snow away. And every once in a while, somebody comes in and shovels with me. I wish somebody would come this week. You know, how come when you really need it, nobody's around? You kind of wait all day long here, wishing to get out of your house. So anyway, praise God. So Titus 3:14 says, our people must learn to do good or good deeds by meeting urgent needs of others so they will not be unproductive. God wants us to be so productive and show good deeds. And God showed us His good deed by doing what He's done. And Jesus done a lot of that. Number seven and lastly, and He said, throw out your net on the right side. Everybody say the right side. This is John 21:6. Throw your net on the right side and you'll get some fish, as He said. Eh? So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. You know, when you're on the right side of God, you get much more than what you deserve.
Amen.
And sometimes when you're with the right people of God, you could be on their good side and they give you even more than what you considered.
Amen.
Just like God does. And so the opposite meaning of goodwill means meanness, which we saw earlier about the spirit of Antichrist that's working in the world through the bad spirits that are around. You know, there's bad spirits. They'll get on people. Just because someone has a bad spirit doesn't mean they're possessed. It's just that the spirit has maybe attached themselves to their soul somewhere. And you can run that off if you want to by just repenting and saying, you know, I loose myself in the name of Jesus. Shake yourself a little bit. Amen? Get up in the morning like you would shake up your bed there shake yourself loose. I think there needed a whole lot of shaking going on this morning. Eh? The spirit of slumber a little bit here, praise God, eh? But, so we see seven things that through the goodness of God, what Christmas means. Basically, goodwill, kindness, love, His favor, His friendship, His generosity, His good deed, being on His right side or being the right side of God. So, you know, this world might be mean. But we don't have to be like the world and be mean back. Because the Bible said we should not be conformed to the world, but that we, through His Word, God's holy Word, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Pastor Ken taught that last week. If you didn't miss it, man, I tell you, there was crowds here waiting from outside after the service. Amen? And so he did a great job. And but we always want to stay on the right side of God. Not on the wrong side. The right side of God represents favor. with God. Today we have favor with God because of Jesus Christ. So in these last days, people will come with an attitude of meanness and hardness, but you and me can be just like God. We can show favor towards all men. Yeah. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. This is going to be a miracle service. I finished before 12. Amen. A miracle service. You can all say, man, I went to a miracle service. You say, well, yeah, we're Faith City Church. Pastor Roma finished at 5 to 12. Huh? How many people would agree with that today? Amen. Come on. Yeah, amen. Man, that's a miracle. Yeah? But we want to see extraordinary miracles. I've got some kind of a tickle in my throat. Can you hang on a second? Pass this around. Give somebody a... No, it's good. Amen. God is good. Everybody say, God is good. Say, God is good. Say, He has favor for me. Say, I have favor for other people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to do a favor for me today. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm going to do a favor for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. Isn't God good to extend His love and kindness and mercy towards us? I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I want to sing a song from my first album. It's not out yet, but it's coming. Amen. Thank God. I want to thank God for my family, my two beautiful daughters that are here this morning. And, you know, I tell you, Christmas means a lot. You know, you know what it means. I said spiritual and natural. For me, it's been a challenging year, I would say. Probably one of my toughest years, I would say, in my whole ministry. But God is good. He's a God of restoration and blessing. I thank God for that. In so many ways, you know, I've had so many challenges in my life this year in so many ways. And my wife turned to me yesterday, of all things. She said, you know, I thought about this, honey, this morning when I woke up. She said, you know, in 9 more years, you'll be 70 years old. So I immediately slammed on the brakes and told her to go exit right away. Yeah. So I thank God for my wife, and she's been so gracious. You know, my wife is a very gracious woman. You know, I mean, she's so many. I live with her for all these years. You know, just the way she is around here, that's how she's at home. And she's just the way she is. She's very gracious about many, many areas of her life. Very kind-hearted. And that's what struck with me when I first met my wife. Very kind woman. And, honey, I thank you for the last 30 years. We've produced two wonderful girls. I believe they'll reflect what we are. Together, you know, and they'll extend themselves. So thank you, girls. Thank you for coming to church. And I expect to see more of you when you're around town. So anyway, Natasha's still working on her music, and she's doing some stuff. So continue to pray for Natasha. She's homeless. you ever see those homeless people in Toronto? Well, that's one of her. So she lives under that one bridge there. As you come down from Jarvis Street, she's under there. But no, I'm just kidding. We need to pray for her. Pray that God will find a place for her. We'll get a place for her. So she's just making some shifts in her stuff. And Hannah's getting started. She just got a job with TV Tell. Yeah. And my wife's going back to college right after this, but not to school to teach. And me, I'm going to be working with Pastor Ken, so my project this year. So I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Is there anybody here, you're not born again? You've never been born again? You've not been saved? If you are, it's so easy. You know, it's no embarrassment. If you've been away from God, all you have to say, God, I'm sorry, I'm coming back. Why don't you just close your eyes for one moment? Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes and think about this one moment. You're thanking God right now for His favor. And if you've been out of sync with God, you say, Lord, forgive me for being out of sync. Maybe forgiving me for saying those negative things about my life and about what's going on in my life. Forgive me for my words that I've spoken. And I'm asking you right now, cleanse me with your blood. And I want to move on to another phase of my life. And I'm forgiving and letting go of everyone who has harmed me. And I'm wishing them favor that has been so extended to me. I'm blessing them. All of you that are watching online by live stream, if you said that prayer, healing and life has come to your life through Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it right there. So thank you, Lord God. I pray for all the people that are here, all the family members and family. I bless the people here from Teen Challenge. We thank you for the glorious riches that you've bestowed on each one of these young men. I ask your favor upon their lives and show them the best path to turn. Thank you for all the goodness that you've shown. And thank you for all our partners and friends that are giving towards the ministry, that are standing here and around Canada, our partners. We ask you a special blessing for them. And I ask you for healing and health and prosperity this year for them. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everyone. See ya. Oh, don't forget your gift as well.